Welcome to The Buff Show, a show brought to you by Mountain Buff Real Estate. We are dedicated to chasing down the buffs of the world and bringing their expertise right to you. All right, guys, welcome to The Buff Show. Today we got Alex Mashburn in the house, and this is our king of finding really good deals. So
it's fun.
We are going to jump into six creative ways to find deals. So let's start out with number one. Do you want to cover that?
Yeah. MLS or agent, so your local MLS. Agent's hard for me because you got to find a good one, right?
Yeah.
Some are really good at helping you get a personal house.
Yeah.
Some are really good at helping you get investment properties. You know, some are really good at writing up seller finance deals. So it's just kind of, like, you got to, like, depending on what you're looking for, you just got to find, you know, one that has a lot of experience there.
Yeah, the agents that's like king of that market or that area,
yeah,
right?
But there's a lot of really good agents.
Yeah. Like, there's, and even, like, in commercial space, like, there's agents that just dominate the commercial space. And, like, if you're looking for a specific type of commercial deal, like, you'd probably want to have a conversation with that agent. And then, like you said, MLS, so the multiple listing service, have bought a number of properties off of just the MLS.
Yeah.
And like, you just have to keep a close eye. They come up and you got to snatch them before other people do and be aggressive sometimes. I was meeting with some sellers last night, and it was funny because like, we were reviewing some past solds and there were a few in there. I was like, dang, this is a really good deal. And there's one house that they listed for $1 million. It got bid up to 1.2. Just like crazy. So you're talking like a 20% increase on the purchase price just because it got like bid up.
There's more eyes on it too.
More eyes. Yeah. So typically on the MLS, you're going to have more competition. It depends on the market and where things are at. There's definitely more inventory now. I would not scratch off the MLS though.
Well, our wedding venue wasn't, it was only on the local MLS down there.
Yeah.
So that's why a lot of people didn't see it.
But it was on for a while. It sat for a while. Like, it was on the MLS, so it was on, like, a lot of the sites.
But not Utah Real Estate.
Right. It wasn't on Utah Real Estate, but it would have popped up on probably Realtor.com and Zillow.
They would have got a lot more out of it. No, it was on Zillow.
Wasn't on Zillow? Mm-hmm.
Would have got a lot more out of it if it was just, if it was on all that stuff.
Yeah. So, have you bought a bunch of properties on the MLS? What's been your experience?
Yeah, a few have been on there. You know, Zillow's one of those things that it's just, they make it so easy on the app just to scroll and this and that. And so, yeah, definitely look on there. But then to contact an agent, I don't know, I might be biased, but I probably wouldn't do it through Zillow because that's just someone that either needs to or wants to pay to get leads from Zillow.
Right, yeah. Like, yeah, as far as inquiring on the property, send the link to your agent that you're working with and have them help you out.
Yeah, so, KSL's good to get some good, you know, some people that just list their house for sale without an agent trying to save some money.
Yeah.
You might get some better negotiations on there as well.
Yeah. So that's the second one. Is for sale by owner, and people post those in Utah on KSL and Zillow. Like, I think there's a section on Zillow that you can just search for sale by owner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anybody, any public person can post their home up for sale on KSL or Zillow. That's really your only options if you're trying to do for sale by owner and not have like an agent, like any listing agent help you. Cause you have to hire a listing agent in order to get on the MLS. And so I like to look at KSL and Zillow. We bought our fourplex was on KSL and I saw it come up at night and I was like, oh, I want this. And we were all over it. And the next day we had a contract with the
seller. Wasn't even on there very long.
No, it was quick. We had to act super fast, but they were getting blown up. So that's a good spot to find a deal. So you got MLS or your agent for sale by owners on KSL and Zillow. The third one, driving for dollars. Have you ever done this?
I have not done this.
So Bigger Pockets, they talk about this a lot. Basically, the strategy is you drive around looking for houses that are in need of repair, that like deferred maintenance, like just houses that you're like, ooh, it could be an owner that they like a second home that nobody looks at or touches and it's just sitting there vacant. Like those are the homes that typically need a lot of work. I see flippers target those homes a lot, but the idea of driving for dollars is you can be super like laser focus on what properties like you could probably get a decent deal on because they likely wouldn't sell well on the MLS,
yeah.
you know? And most people, like most agents are going to be like, this is a hard sell. Like it needs 50 to 100 grand worth of work. Like it just doesn't look good. Most of the homes on the MLS people care about, they're sprucing them up. Like that's, you're paying market value most of the time on the MLS. But if you can drive for dollars, find 10, 20, 30 addresses in the area that you want to buy and like send those people cards like, hey, do you want to sell your house? Because for every property, you can get on the city or the county's website and find the mailing address to that property. And then you just send them a card like, hey, I'm interested in buying your property. And chances are if it's run down, they might not care to have that property, yeah. you know?
Or just care, if they've had it for so long.
Yeah, or really care how much. I mean, obviously they'll care how much they can get, but when it's in that bad a condition, typically you can get a better price on it. So...
Yeah. I'll cover number four.
Yeah.
Word of mouth and relationships. I've done a decent amount of deals, mobile home parks. You know, my personal house is actually from my grandma.
Yeah.
Just one of her neighbors. They passed away. The house is on dry in a trust. And the kids, you know, were happy to keep the house on within some family on the street.
Yeah.
So, you know, just... I think word of mouth is super, super important because if someone doesn't have to deal with listing it, pictures, this, mm-hmm. that, and they can sell it to somebody that they like, you know, like
yeah.
a friend of a friend is a really good thing to have.
Yeah. So you've, and how have you got that? Like you just tell everybody like, hey, kind of what you're looking for, what your goals are?
Yeah, yeah. Tell friends, tell family, tell agents kind of what you're looking for. And, you know, someone's going to be able to help you out. For
yeah.
sure. And, you know, word of mouth and relationships, you know, sometimes it's someone wants you to come move by them. And mm-hmm. so they tell their neighbors and then their neighbors are like, well, I would sell.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
And like, that's how we got our Eden house actually was through an agent in the office that I was working at. He mentioned like, hey, these sellers are open to selling. They don't want to list it. And another agent in the office put it under contract and then it fell through. And then I looked at it and I was like, we ended up buying it. And, but yeah, it is funny, but by putting, you just got to put what you want out there, right? Because the more that you put that out there, the more it's going to come back to you.
Yeah.
So word of mouth and relationships is huge. Is there anything that you do to like build those relationships? Like you've done deals out of state, like you've done some stuff all over. How have you gone about just building those relationships in order to get those types of deals?
Yeah, I mean, this might be a little too deep, but I feel like life's just kind of about growing and about relationships.
Yeah.
And so every single person I come around, like I want them to be like, oh man, like I like that guy, you know, yeah. like I like to work with him someday, or because I'm trying to like put out the feelers of like, hey, I would love to help somebody out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we paid more for the wedding venue than it was listed for.
Right.
To help them out. And then they helped us out back with seller finance, right?
So right.
I think just like, I don't know, this might sound like more cliche, but it's like just putting the vibe out there
mm-hmm.
that you want to help other people out.
Yeah.
Whether it's selling, helping them sell their house, buying their house, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it just comes back.
Yeah. And what did you say the other day? Like any deal, you can make any deal, like any deal can be a good deal.
Yeah. Everything's for sale.
Yep.
All with some sort of price, you know, and there's always a way to make it work.
Yeah.
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 So
number four, word of mouth relationships, and then five, mailers. When we were talking before, you're like, I haven't done this a whole lot.
Yeah. I've seen Brandon Turner, like they do it though.
Yeah.
You send out tons.
Yeah. There's people that, I mean, their whole strategy is like mailers. And we picked up, let's see, we had a duplex on Van Buren that we sent out mailers just like, hey, I think the verbiage was, this was probably 8 years ago. And we wrote like, hey, me and my wife are looking for an investment property. We saw yours. Are you open? Or are you considering selling? Just handwritten note. And the sellers called us and they were like, hey, we are interested in selling. Do you want to come check it out? And we did. That one ended up being a seller finance deal. And it was pretty sweet. We put, I think it was like 50 grand down and they carried us. And then we refinanced it later. But I have got, I think I'm trying to think if there's another one.
I'd say those are those can be really good for investors.
Yeah.
But
it actually
could be good for a really personal house too. If you're like, hey, you know, I want to find a deal that's not on the market, that's what I'm looking for. Here's what I'm looking for, and send it to the 100 people. You know?
I've found probably 10 deals for clients off market because they were very specific on what they were looking for. I want a house in this neighborhood, this square footage, this year built. And I had title pull me a list, and I sent every one of those people a letter.
Would you buy? Yeah.
And then they, and basically it was like, hey, I have buyers looking in this neighborhood. This is what they're after. If you know anybody that's open to selling, please reach out to me. Like, these are legitimate buyers ready to go.
Yeah.
And I have sold multiple properties for other clients that
probably
way.
Big ones too.
Trying to think of the biggest one. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I've been impressed and just surprised at the amount of like people that will call back on that one. So if you're a buyer and you know specifically what you're looking for, reach out to us because we can do that legwork for you.
Send out mailers and get it going.
And find you some deals that way. They're not always like deals, like the deals made, but depending on what they want and everything like that, like you can kind of structure it a bunch of different ways. Do you want to cover number six, the last one?
Yeah, number six. I might add a seventh one on there too.
Let's do it.
Number six, wholesalers. Definitely some of them can have a bad rap.
Yeah.
You know, as far as like they're just trying to make a chunk of money and whatnot. Same with agents, I guess.
What's a wholesaler for somebody that might not know?
A wholesaler is essentially someone that gets a property under contract for usually a lower price, and then they assign that contract to a new buyer.
And tack on an assignment fee.
An assignment fee, or it might just be the difference. They might get under contract for $380 and then assign it to a buyer for $400 if it's a good deal, and then they get $20,000
right,
from title, you know, at closing. So, you know, it's they're motivated to find good deals. And so I've gotten a few insanely good ones off of wholesalers. One of them was like three units of commercial space, three buildings for like $450. Actually it was $380 from the wholesaler, and then we assigned it to somebody else for $450, but those rents have raised all the way up, you know, 40-50%.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like you can find really good deals from wholesalers, and some of them might not even realize how much the property is actually worth.
Right.
Just take a low assignment fee.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we bought a duplex in Bountiful from a wholesaler, and I think they made like $35,000, and we still went on and made $100,000 after we flipped it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it was, I wish we would have kept that one.
That's insane. But
it was a good deal. So wholesalers.
Wholesalers are good. And then I'll add number seven is, so every single state in the United States is either tax lien or tax deed state. And so essentially, like if someone hasn't been paying their property taxes, you can kind of get that list. You can go into the county online, whatever, and you're going to be able to basically pay those property taxes for that house.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it'll be a couple of months, and sometimes it'll be a couple of years. I know Utah County is like 5 years.
Yeah.
If it's delinquent.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
What is it in Utah? I thought it was like seven or something like that, but it's so many years you don't have to pay your taxes.
Usually it's on the county now.
But whoever pays it or brings it current, I guess technically.
Yeah, if it gets paid back, basically you're going to pay the property taxes for that property.
Yeah.
And then the county is saying, hey, we're promising back, you know, 12 to 18%.
Yeah.
Right, on your money every year, which is awesome. And if they don't fulfill that promise because it stays delinquent for X amount of years, then you're going to get back, you're going to get the property.
Have you ever seen that worked? I've never met anybody that has successfully.
I only know two people that have done it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely works, especially if it's like, you know, I think one of them was in Utah County and it was, you know, $500,000, like a $500,000 property, and their property tax is delinquent for X amount of years. They ended up paying like, I think $60,000 or something. But
that's bizarre.
But then they just got the property deeded.
After. That's bizarre.
So
yeah. So those are the seven places that we found most success in finding deals. I'm sure there's other ones, but those are like the main ones as we were like brainstorming that we've had success in finding deals. So if there's something specific you're looking for, hit us up. We like to go on wild goose chases and try and find those good.
We sure do.
Those good golden geese.
There's some good stuff out there. It's fun.
Yeah. So anyways, guys, thanks for tuning in and we'll catch you next time.